something a little bit about the congregation which the Lord has blessed me and my family is, it's pronounced Stigler, Oklahoma, very metropolis city, about 3,000 people. We went there about, again, around 2017, and through the blessing of the Lord, we finally get to work with great elders and with great deacons, great men there, great women, great families there. And so they are so on fire for God and what they're going to do for his kingdom in that neck of the woods in southeastern Oklahoma. I don't know if you know where Stigler is. You probably never heard of it. I never heard of it until I moved there, of course. But Stigler is about 40, 50 minutes from Muskogee. Muskogee is a little bit north of us, okay? And then south of us is 40, 50 minutes McAllister. Sort of kind of close to Eufaula. So hopefully you can kind of maybe generally get a perspective on where we are. And so the congregation is about 130, 140. Again, a great men, great women of God who are ready to do the Lord's work. And it was just a blessing. And we're seeing God's providence on how we came to go there, but also what we're trying to do. It's been about 6 or 7 years, as far as congregationally speaking, that we had a VBS. And I found that to be just a little bit odd because, again, we have so great of young people there as far as elementary wise. And so we got that started here recently. And our first night, I think it was consistently, we had about 100 people. And so we're doing great things for the Lord there, as well as camp and getting involved in those kinds of works. And so that's kind of just a little bit as far as how what's happening in my life. And as you probably just heard, my little boy is somewhere back there. So now, yes, I have a son. Can you believe that? A son now. You know, I'm sure some of y'all remember me at my young age. It's like, man, Remington has a son. That's right. And Lord willing, we'll have a couple more in the future. There was an incident in Oklahoma City maybe a couple years ago where it was one of those weird situations where a woman had given birth on a sidewalk. There was many people who eyewitnessed this event, even taxi drivers. You know, that's probably not common in Oklahoma City, but there were some taxi drivers who noticed this event. But, you know, the most weirdest thing was is that they didn't stop to help. They just went on by. And where this lady gave birth on the sidewalk, there was even a hotel nearby, but they didn't even offer help as well. Another weird incident that happened in Dayton, Ohio. About 12 people saw a woman, for some odd reason, a woman drove into the Miami River. She eventually climbed on top of her car saying, you know, I can't swim. Please help me. But the weirdest thing is no one really helped her at all. And even in New York City, odd reason, someone got shot by a sniper, but no one assisted to help. It is said that in the Chicago Sun-Times Library, there's this file that has all these kinds of incidents, in which I just told you, that is labeled apathy. Apathy. In other words, where are the good Samaritans? Where are they? I think there would be a lot more Samaritans in this world, in our world, if we truly understood how the word kindness is used in the Bible. I think there would be a lot more if we truly understood how that word kindness is used in the Bible. I don't know if you remember the song, Ancient Words, Ever True, changing me and changing you. And we have come with open hearts. Let these ancient words impart. And we sing another song called Words of Life, Words of Hope. It helps us strengthen us. It helps us cope. These are inspired words. And every single word that is written in here is very important for us to study them and to see how it's used throughout His Word. And that's what I want us to do with the word kindness, so that we can make sure that we are a good Samaritan. And so there's three ways I want to share with you tonight as far as how is that word kindness used in the Bible. Well, number one, kindness is of the Lord. Kindness is of the Lord. Number two, kindness is to be on the lips. Kindness is to be on the lips. And number three, kindness is to be loved. Kindness is to be loved. But let's go back to that first way. Kindness is of the Lord. And we see the kindness of God extended in the life of Joseph. We see the kindness of God extended in the life of Joseph. Let's open our Bibles and let's see it. Genesis 39. And let's look at verse 21. Genesis 39 and verse 21. Genesis 39, verse 21. Kindness is of the Lord. And this text says, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. This is a moment where Joseph is in prison. But before we get there, you notice how the text says kindness was extended to Joseph even while in prison, but you need to know that kindness was extended to Joseph even before this incident. Because if you back up to verse number 4, this guy Potiphar puts all these things in charge of Joseph, a personal servant of his. You're in charge, and you see the kindness of God displayed in the life of Joseph before he even faces any adversity. Any adversity. And maybe the question needs to be asked, how could Potiphar see the kindness of God in the life of Joseph? Three times this phrase is used in this chapter. Three times. You see it in verse 2, verse 21. In verse 23, the Lord is with him. In verse 2, 21, and 23, the phrase, the Lord is with him. Potiphar saw that in Joseph. They saw Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and now Joseph. Anybody who came in contact with those kinds of people, they knew that God was going to bless them too, because God had blessed these individuals first. God has specially chosen them for a special task. Potiphar saw that. And he says, I'm going to make you in charge of everything. You see God's kindness extended into his life. But now the verse which we just read, verse 21. He's in prison. And the chief jailer says, you know what? You're in charge of this jail. You're in charge of this prison. This is crazy. We can understand kindness extended to Joseph before going to jail because everything is good, everything's great in his life. He's the second man in charge. But then now here comes adversity. And will God extend his kindness to me? Is kindness of the Lord? And of course, God is going to sit back and he says, yeah. And let me show you, Joseph. Let me show you. Through the chief jailer, Joseph, you're in charge now. You're in charge. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 of this chapter. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners, all of them who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. Even in adversity. Listen, church. Even in adversity, you can see the kindness of God. God. It may be hard, but you can see it. God's not going to change who he is. Because James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, which is the Father of lights. He is not a shifting shadow. He's not going to change who he is. He gives nothing but goodness. And you can see it in adversity. We ask that question all the time, don't we? When adversity comes. Even right here. God, if you were so kind, how could you allow this to happen to Joseph? Because again, remember verse 4? man, life is good for Joseph. Everything has been given to him. He's second man in charge in a way. He's going to prison. Oh, man, that stuff is taken away. No. God says, no, let me show you kindness in here and your problems. Where is God? If God was so kind, write the question. If God was so kind, he would not have allowed his kindness to lead him to prison. So where was God in that moment? Because remember what we said? We said three times that phrase, the Lord is with him. Well, why wasn't the Lord with him during that moment? You remember? Between him and Potiphar's wife? Why wasn't he there? Was he there? God would say, yeah, I was there. And let me show you. It's verses 7 through 10 of this chapter. In verse number 8, you see Joseph refuse that temptation. When Joseph refused it, God says, I'm right there. I'm right there. In verse 9 of this chapter, Joseph says to Potiphar's wife, basically, look, your master, your husband has given me in charge of all these things except for some things. Some things are withheld from me, which is you. God says, I'm right there. Joseph knows what belongs to him, what doesn't belong to him. God's there. And then in verse 10, that great question, Joseph says, how can I do this kind of evil and sin against my God? God says, I'm right there. You can see the kindness of God before Joseph faces problems in his life. And even in the midst of his problems, he sees it. But there's another person that God extended kindness to, not just Joseph, but Ruth. Ruth. Let's look at Ruth. Chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Look at verse 20. Ruth chapter 2, verse 20. It says, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, we know that's Ruth, may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. Again, Naomi, verse 20, said to her, the man is our relative. He's one of our close relative. God extended his kindness in the life of Ruth. And it's a little bit weird right here, is it not, where the text says, God showed his kindness. Kindness was extended to the living and then to the dead. The living would represent Ruth and Naomi. But then now it's like, who does the death represent or the dead represent? Most likely, Ruth's deceased husband, her spouse. Most likely, Naomi's other child, her boy. And Naomi's husband. And so it's like, okay, God, how can you show kindness to the living? That makes sense to us. But even to the dead, how is that possible? We know the story, I think. God extends his kindness to these two women and says, here's a man named Boaz. He's going to help you keep the land in the family. He's our close relative. And then when you get to chapter 4 of Ruth, he allows Boaz and Ruth to marry each other. He allows that to happen. And the reason why I say he allows that to happen, and that's showing kindness. The reason why God allows that to happen is because Ruth comes from a group of people that's called Moabites. And Boaz is a group of people who comes from God's people. And if you don't remember the history, Moabites and God's people, Judah, they were at war with each other. They fought against each other. They don't like each other. She is a foreigner. Her people are foreigners. And God says, let me show you my kindness. And she faced adversity too. Because there was someone else who was closer to Boaz than he was, as far as the land. and getting Ruth as his wife. Someone was closer. But God says, no. Let me show you my kindness. Let me show you. And then in chapter 4, at the very end of chapter 4, it would be their great-grandson. Their great-grandson would be the future king of Israel. David. Man, if that's not kindness, I don't know what is. God did the same thing to us, did he not? We were just like Ruth. We were this foreigner because we had sin all over us. And God says, let me show you my kindness. Let me extend it to you. Let me allow you to have the opportunity to spiritually marry my son. And you get to become the bride of Christ. And you could be able to see that. You could be able to see his kindness. Even in adversity. When we ask that question, how is kindness used in the Bible? Well, it's used in this way. Kindness is of the Lord. It's his nature. It's his character. It's who he is, who he has always been. But number two, remember number two? Kindness is to be on the lips. Kindness is to be on the lips. Here's what I mean by that. Proverbs 31. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Kindness is to be on the lips. Proverbs chapter 31. When you get there, look at verse 26. Proverbs 31, verse 26. The text says she opens her mouth in wisdom. And then in verse 26, notice this. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This excellent wife, virtuous wife, also a mother. She has kindness on her lips. Her teaching is kind, which makes you ask the question, what is this woman, this mother, teaching here? Folks, back up with me to verse number 4. Verse number 4. This woman, what she's teaching, it's so kind because here's what she's teaching. And even starting at verse 4, she's introducing the idea of there are some rulers who desire strong drink, alcohol. She's warning, giving some warning signs about alcohol. And then if you go down to verse 8 and 9, open your mouth for the mute. Verse 8, for the righteous of all the unfortunate, open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. She's teaching the idea of, I want you to see the value in others. I want you to see the value in others. I'm warning you about alcohol. I think you can go back to verse 3 too. And the idea in verse 3 is this. What she's teaching is warning against adultery in a marriage. And this woman, this wife, who is she teaching? Well, can we go back to verse 1? The words of King. Then it says, the oracle, which is his mother, taught him. Solomon writes this book to his boy. He says, listen, my son. There's some things that my mother taught me. Your grandmother taught me. I want to share some of those things with you, my son. Mothers, are you teaching this stuff to your young boys too? Are you teaching this kind of stuff? We know that the fathers are also included here. But mothers, are we teaching subjects and warning our children about alcohol? Mothers, are we teaching our children the warning signs about, you know, when it comes to a marriage, no divorce, no adultery. To first view the marriage as this one flesh relationship. And as this marriage is really about Christ and his bride, and it's supposed to preach the gospel in that kind of a way. Mothers, are we teaching our young boys about seeing the value in others? Are you teaching your boys to see people for who they are, as an actual person, instead of an object? See, kindness is to be on the lips, just like this mother, just like this wife. And she's teaching all these subjects, and Solomon is relaying that to his boy. It's what your grandmother said to me. Here's what she said. But where does she get this stuff? Well, if you go to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, that's where she got it from. She got those subjects, that kind teaching, Proverbs 2 verse 6, from the Word of God. Knowing that wisdom comes from God's Word. Knowing knowledge comes from God's Word. Knowing that understanding comes from God's Word. And so when you have the idea of understanding and knowledge comes from this book, when it comes to marriage, God says, here's what you need to know about marriage. Here's what you need to know about alcohol. Here's what you need to know about seeing the value in others. God, why do you see marriage the way that you do? Why do you see alcohol the way that you do? Why do you see people the way that you do? God says, here's understanding right in here. Here is how you can have kindness on your lips. It starts with God's Word. But I think it also involves the idea of purifying your heart. Purifying your heart from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, we got to guard our heart diligently. We got to be watchful of it. Why? Because springs of life can overflow from it. And I think Jesus says something like that in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Out of the mouth, the heart's already filled with all that stuff. When the heart is filled with all this garbage, garbage is going to come out. And now kindness is not on my lips. And then I'm forgetting that kindness is of the Lord. Let's look at this last way. We got kindness is of the Lord. Kindness is to be on the lips. But then number three, kindness is to be loved. Kindness is to be loved. And in the times of Micah, the book of Micah, Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, kindness was not loved by God's people. Let's just turn there. Micah chapter 6, still the Old Testament. Micah chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 8. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Let's look at verse 8. The text says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. You know how we can know that God's people at this time did not love kindness? I don't think it's a coincidence. Do you notice that there's a question mark at the end of the verse? Maybe depending on translation, but there's a question mark. And it makes sense. Because if you back up to verse 6 and 7, there's a series of questions that God, through Micah, is asking his people. And the reason for that is because the people are kind of like playing dumb. They're coming off in such a way to say, we don't know what God wants from us. We don't know what God requires of us. And Micah, God, is saying, what do you mean? You don't know what's required of you. I have told you what I want from you. And it's to love kindness. But they're not doing that. And you know how else we can know they didn't love kindness in this time? Let's go to Micah chapter 2. Micah chapter 2. Let's look in verse number 2. Micah chapter 2. Look at verse 2. It says, they covet fields and then seize them, and houses and take them away. They rob a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Go down to verse 8 for me. Verse 8. Recently my people have arisen as an enemy. You strip the robe off of the garment from unexpecting passerby. from those returned from war. Verse 9, the woman of my people you evict, each one from her pleasant house, from her children, you take my splendor forever. God's people are treating each other in these kinds of ways. Doesn't that go back to what we talked about in Proverbs 31? And how this mother, this wife, is trying to teach her grandchild, children. Kindness is to be on the lips. I'm trying to teach you to see the value in others. They don't see that in each other at this time. Look what they're doing. And you know what the consequence of that is? Here comes the Assyrian army. Boom. You're going off into captivity. See ya. Folks, if we treat each other this way, we got destruction coming our way too. It may not be from Assyria, but we got destruction coming our way if we don't see the value in others. If we treat each other just like they did. You know how we can know they didn't love kindness at this time? Go to chapter 3 and verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I said, hear now, heads of Jacob. Oh, this is the leadership of the people. Heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, who tear off their skin from them and their flesh from their bones. The leadership is not even displaying this example of kindness. No wonder the people are acting up. They don't have a good leadership anyway. And here's the consequence of that. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 of chapter 3. Here's the consequence. Now hear this, heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, and abhor justice and twist everything that is straight, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with violent justice. Her leaders pronounce judgment. There it is, judgment for a bribe. Her priests instruct for a price, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will come upon you. Just like the people. Leadership. Because you're not setting this example, guess what you're getting? Destruction. Not only that, your prayers will not be heard from God. Your prayers are not going to be heard from God. I believe that's chapter 3, verse 4, is it not? Yeah. Then they will cry out to the Lord, verse 4, but he will not answer them. These leaders, I'm not going to answer you. So then, okay, these people at this time, why should they and the leaders, why should they have known that loving kindness was his requirement of them? Why? I think you can find those reasons in chapter 6, verse 4. In chapter 6, verse 4, God says, reason number one, do you remember how I brought you out of Egypt? That's why you should know what I require of you. Because of what I did for you all in the past. But then he says in chapter 6, verse 4, I have ransomed you from slavery. You know why we should love kindness today? Knowing that's a requirement today? This is what God wants from us? It's because he says, I have ransomed you from the slavery of sin. And my son, Jesus, his life was a ransom for many. Mark 10, verse 45. That's why. If you stay in chapter 6, verse 4, there's a couple of leaders who are mentioned in chapter 6, verse 4 of Micah. You have Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. It's as if God, Micah, the prophet, is saying to God's people, you had great leaders in the past. You had Moses and Aaron and Miriam who displayed that example of loving kindness. For those who are leaders in God's church, we are to set that example. The preacher and the elder and the deacons, all of that. See, when that's at the top, when the top people in the congregation are first setting this example, Lord willing, you know what's going to happen? It's going to overflow throughout the members. It's going to overflow. Leaders got to show that example so that the people know how to act. how to love kindness. Kindness is to be loved. It's because he's given us a promise too. He gave a promise to them all the way back in the Old Testament, as far as the times of Joshua, the promised land. And he says, I want you to love kindness too, because you have a promised land. But the only way to get there, kindness, needs to be on your lips. You can have kindness on your lips if you understand where kindness ultimately comes from. God. Knowing that kindness is of the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray about these things. Thank you for the invitation. Really appreciate it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for gathering us tonight to study a portion of your word. Father, help us to understand that we need to set this example of kindness. Help us to love it. Help us to understand that kindness ultimately comes from you, and how we can be able to see that in your word, especially in the cross. Father, help us to make sure that kindness is on our lips, that it's seasoned, that we speak life to people. Father, we thank you so much for this great, great book that you have given us. Father, I pray that we love it and that we cherish it. I pray that we hold it dear to us. I pray that we share it. Work on us, Father. Help us. Keep us accountable when it comes to being kind, a good Samaritan in this world. Thank you so much for your son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.